glad to be in the house of the Lord. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, you can go to Proverbs 4 and 7. I'll be there in just a moment. I want to talk to you today from the subject of wisdom for the holidays. Now, Pastor, I have never heard anybody title a message Wisdom for the Holidays. Welcome to WLCC. I'm a pastor teacher. You got it? That is my gift. My anointing is to teach, and that's something that I do and do it very well. And the reason I can say I do it very well is because you are living a better life as a result of the teaching. Amen? And so holidays can, listen to me very closely, can be the source of much frustration if wisdom is not applied. However, if wisdom is applied, it can be pure joy. You got it? The whole key is understanding and making sure that you make good choices, that you make good decisions, and you understand what the holidays are for. We're approaching Christmas, and we know that Jesus is the reason for the season. And so even though everything is commercialized and everything is, you know, just really about that, and of course, we understand we're going to get some gifts and that stuff is okay, but that to the degree we really keep the focus of what the season is really about, Jesus is the reason of the season, family's going to get together, and those kind of things, it makes it that much better. So Proverbs, the fourth chapter and the seventh verse, and so we're going to teach a lesson today that nobody in the world has ever heard entitled Wisdom for the Holidays. All right, Proverbs 4 and 7, are you ready? It says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. He says, and with all thy getting, get what, class? Get an understanding. So he says that that wisdom is the principal thing or the main thing. I think it is the NIV that says it is the supreme thing. So we understand the importance of wisdom. You remember when we taught on the Bible, I think Minister Debbie taught on Tuesday night, and she talked about the different versions of the Bible. She talked about the formal, that's KJV, and then she talked about the functional, that's like the NLT and the NIV, and then we talked about paraphrase, which is like the Message. So I thought it'd be real cool today to give you a formal, a functional, and a paraphrase. So the formal, KJV, says wisdom is the principal thing. Now, Proverbs 4 and 7 in the NLT, the functional says getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. Can I get a... It says, and whatever else you do, develop good judgment. And so it's wisdom. He says, it's the wisest thing you can do. And he says, and whatever else you do, develop good judgment. So I need this wisdom, and I need this understanding. So now let's read it in the Message paraphrase. It says, when I was a boy at my father's knee, the pride and joy of my mother, he would sit me down and drill me. Take this to heart. Do what I tell you. Live. Sell everything and buy wisdom. Do what? Sell what?
Everything.
That's how important wisdom is. He says, sell everything. If it costs you everything, he says, get wisdom. For it's to understanding. Don't forget one word. Don't deviate an inch. Never walk away from wisdom. She guards your life. Love her. She keeps her eye on you. Above all and before all, watch this. He says, do this. Get wisdom, write this at the top of your list. Get understanding, throw your arms around her. Believe me, you won't regret it. Never let her go. She'll make your life glorious. She'll garland your life with grace. She'll festoon your days with beauty. So he says, whatever you do, get wisdom and get understanding. He says, if you have to spend all your money to get wisdom, spend all your money to get wisdom. Why? Because most people who will be honest with you, who have gotten to a bad place in life, will tell you because it's bad decisions that they made. You got it? Most people most people say, I have a money problem. You don't have a money problem, you have a wisdom problem. Most people say, I have a marriage problem. It's not so much a marriage problem as it is you don't have the wisdom to really know how to, you know, be who I need to be as a spouse. Does that make sense? And learn the wisdom of communicating and those kind of things. So a lot of people think, I've got this problem, that problem. But the Bible really teaches us that it's really, more than anything, a wisdom problem. And so the writer says, get wisdom. You hear me say it all the time. Life is choice driven. You are where you are because of the choices that you made in the past. But now, if you're not in a good place, don't beat yourself up. There's no use in crying over spilled milk. Start making making better choices, and to the degree we make better choices, it's going to put us in a better place. Does that make sense? And so the bottom line is, the better choices you make, the easier life gets. Isn't that right? Yeah, the better choices you make, the easier life gets. We need wisdom and understanding to make these better choices. And so I think that I'm going to have three simple points for the holidays, and I promise you that if you will listen to Pastor and do what Pastor says over these three points, it will really help your holidays out. Y'all ready for them? All right, everybody say number one. Okay, number one, be wise with your money. Be wise with your money. Now, I love the Christmas season. We do understand that it is a time for giving. After all, for God so loved the world, He did what He gave. Jesus was our greatest gift, right? And so we understand it'll be a time for giving and those kind of things. But my whole thing is, don't let the whole commercial world, you got it, mess you up. I believe in being generous, but I also believe in staying in your lane. All right. Just look at your neighbor ahead of time and say, Pastor's going to help us today. He's just going to help us. See, you notice I didn't say, tell your neighbor he's going to help you. I said, he's going to help us. Right? Right. So I believe in being generous, but I also believe in staying in your lane. This is not the time of year to run up credit cards. Amen. All right. To compete for the best gift. Amen. Or to feel the need to buy everybody a gift. Right. Years ago, my brother Joe, he's not here. I think they're on the way back. They were back home for Thanksgiving. And I remember talking to him. And, you know, Joe is married to Janie, and they have three daughters, Jada, Jackie, and Joy. And so I do know my nieces. And so I was talking to him about something, and I said, hey, man, let me get you to understand something. Your family, now I know I'm your brother, and we've got big family, but your family, in other words, I was talking to him about the era of responsibility. Your family is you and Janie and Jada and Jackie and Joy. So you need to make sure that you take care of them. You are responsible for them. Make sure that they have what they need. Like, that is your family. Does that make sense? Like, if there's five of you in a family, you got it, and you're going to Christmas, and there's going to be 40 of y'all, do not feel overwhelmed that I've got to get everybody a gift. You got, I'm your gift. I'm here. What's for dinner? Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes.
You name it.
All right. I got it in there again, Courtney. All right. So I'm going to get it in there next Sunday, too. I'm just going to let you know, all right? And so, but if we're not careful, you know, we feel the stress. You know, I need to go get me a need to run stuff up on my credit card or go and, you know, deplete my savings. When we forget that the whole reason for the season is that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but should have everlasting life. And so the thing about it is, and I'm not trying to be mean, so don't take it the wrong way, but Christmas is, well, it's somebody's birthday, but... It's one person in the room's birthday, but besides that, Christmas is not your birthday, right? It's Jesus's birthday. And so I say that we come together as a family, but we let the stress part of it go, you got it, and celebrate the Savior who died and shed his blood for me and for you. Does that make sense? Yeah, so I think that is vitally important. If you've got that big of a group, then, you know, and everybody just feels the need that we have to give gifts, we'll just pick names. So that way, if there's 40 people, everybody gets one name, so you come with that one gift. Does that make sense? And you know, and I promise you, if you listen to Pastor and do what Pastor says, where everybody else don't want to do that in my family, Pastor, well, then you tell them, hey, guys, we love y'all, but listen, this is kind of the way we are going to do things, you know, because at the end of the day, you are responsible for your family. Does that make sense? Yeah, I mean, for years I've told people, you don't need to get Pastor anything for Christmas. You know, and initially people are like, what? No, it ain't my birthday. April 30th. That be my birthday. If you would like to give me something for my birthday, you can give me something for my birthday. But I'm not into the, you need to get past something here, and you need to get past something here, and you, no. No, that's too much. Does that make sense? Yeah, I ain't never heard a pastor talk like that. Well, welcome to WLCC. And it's not that I don't believe in giving, and you guys are blessing to me all the time. There's a little box that's called pastor offering. Y'all, some of y'all check it all the time. I never talk about pastor's offering. It's been... long, long time. You got it. I don't even talk. And I appreciate it when you sow into my life. I believe the same graces on my life gets on you. But it's not something I talk about because that's not what it's about. Does that make sense? And so be wise with your money. Take care of your immediate. Well, listen to this. Listen to this. If you're taking notes, write this down, all right? If you're not taking notes, write this down, all right? Y'all know that's just a joke, right? Okay, all right? Take care of your immediate family. Use wisdom and dream big. All right, that's what you do. You take care of your immediate family, you use wisdom, and you dream big. So now, I'm going to take care of, see, so pastor's responsibility is Lady, LaConte, Jay, and Hannah. Does that make sense? I'm not saying I'm not going to do anything else for anybody, but I'm just trying to teach you like the way it needs to be, all right? And so that is my ultimate responsibility. So I've got to do that. I've got to use wisdom, all right? How many know we don't clear out the savings account to go buy Christmas gifts? How many know you have to live after Christmas? Isn't that right? Okay. But watch this. But I also dream big. I remember, in the very, very lean days of our life, there's things that I wanted to do for later that I just couldn't do. You got it? I made her a whole bunch of promises, though. When we make it, I got you. You understand what I'm saying? And I kept my word, too. You understand? And so now I would dream big. So I didn't, watch this, I didn't let the holidays coming up and the fact that we were living paycheck to paycheck and really didn't have enough, I didn't let that steal my joy. I didn't let it take my peace away. I didn't let it make me walk in with my head hung down because everybody, in her family seems to be doing good and I'm walking in and I married her and I'm not doing so. No, I didn't let any of that bother me. I learned how to, watch this, I learned how to leave the discomfort of my present and visit my future on the canvas of my imagination of what my life is going to be like. And I say, man, it ain't always going to be like this. I see better days. I see brighter days. I see days of provision on top of provision. I see days when I look at my bank account after I pay all my bills and I see zero after zero after zero. You know what I was doing? I was dreaming big. And I add the word of God to it. You understand what I'm saying? He came that I might have life and that I might have it more abundantly. Let them shout, but that was John 10 and 10. Psalms 35 and 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his children. God, watch this, God has pleasure when we prosper. So he wants us to do good. You got it? Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So God wants us to do good. He wants us to have enough. And so if you're in a place that you're not there, you got to leave the discomfort of your present, visit your future on the canvas of your imagination, and keep talking to yourself, saying what the word says, and remind yourself it's not always going to be like this. And that's a good place to clap right there. All right, so take care of your immediate family, use wisdom, and dream big. Budgets are still important during the holidays. Why, Pastor? Because the bills don't stop. You got it? And so, this is just me, this is just Pastor, but I don't believe in, I got to get it right now. Like if I feel like I need to take a day and think about it, and then they tell, oh, it's going to be gone. Well, then it wasn't for me. Luke 14 and 28. No, I'm going to help you with that statement. Luke 14 and 28, the writer says, for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first? Everybody say first. So before you purchase it, before you do it, he says you have to do it first and count the cost, whether we have sufficient to finish it, right? And so, what date is Christmas? What is it? 25th, all right? How many days are in Christmas? In December? 31, right? So what is it? What's 6-7 days after that? January 1st. No, after Christmas. I'm not trying to throw y'all off. January 1st, right? Yeah, 6-7 days after Christmas. And what normally comes on the 1st? Bills. The mortgage payment, the car payment. Are y'all understanding what I'm trying to say? I'm not trying to make it hard. I'm just saying, after you give all them gifts out and you feel good that you took care of everybody, and then the first comes, you're like, oh, Lord Jesus, I need you right now, Lord. Come through, Lord. I need to pay my mortgage. I need to pay my car payment, Lord. I need you. He said, I gave it to you, but you gave it away. Number two, everybody say number two. All right, so number one was be wise with your money. Did y'all get it? All right, number two is clear your heart. Number two is clear your heart. Proverbs 4 and 23 in the KJV says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. The Bible teaches us to guard our heart, what goes in and what comes out. I have found that the holidays, this is a great time of year to mend family relationships as well as make sure you forgive those that have hurt you. You got it. I want my heart. I know we should do it all the time, but it just seems like if there's quarrels in the family, you know, for some kind of reason around this time of year, people are more willing and more apt to be open, you know, to say I'm sorry or to accept an apology and those kind of things. See, we don't, sometimes when we don't forgive, we don't realize, but we don't forgive in an effort to punish others, but we're really punishing ourselves. Because when you forgive, watch this now, you're not only releasing them, but you're also releasing you so that there's nothing wrong, no bitterness, no envy, you know, nothing that's in your heart that shouldn't be there. Because when you don't forgive somebody, it stays with you. No, you see, this is the danger of not forgiving somebody, all right? The danger of not forgiving somebody is that, you know, you don't realize that person's going to move on. And it's 2 years later, you got it, and you still haven't forgiven them. So you were, okay, you're happy, you with your friend, you're walking into the mall. It's a great day until you see that person that you didn't forgive. And then what happens? All that stuff comes up. You don't even want to go to the mall anymore. You don't even want to shop, and you love the shop. You got $1,000 extra in your purse, and you don't even want to, I want to go to the house. Why? Because I just seen so-and-so, and he make me sick. Don't act like y'all don't talk like that. Y'all know this church, right? And my whole thing is don't give anybody that kind of power in your life, right? At the end of the day, Jesus forgave us, so why don't we extend the same grace to somebody else that has already been extended to us? Does that make sense? All right, so I've got to be willing to extend the same grace. Our problem is not people. Our problem is the devil. And that's what we got. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You got it? But principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. John 10 and 10 says, it's the thief that comes, in the Amplified, the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. Who does that? The thief. Right. It's not your boss. You got it. It's not your neighbor that you don't like because they play music too loud. You got it. It's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Jesus says, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance, he says, to the full till it overflows. And so we've got to understand that you just got to learn to let it go. You just got to let it go. They hurt you. I know it wasn't right, but you got to forgive them. They lied on you. I know it wasn't right, but you got to forgive them. You got it. Messed your name all up, caused you to not go through a door that you were supposed to go through. I get all that, but you got to forgive them. You got it. You got to forgive them, and you got to just let it go. All right. Understanding that if you can just forgive them and let it go, God still has great things in store for you. Does that make sense? Yeah. So I don't watch this. Basically, forgiving you doesn't mean that what you did wasn't right. It just means that I chose to move beyond the offense and not penalize you for what you did. Does that make sense? All right. All right. So question, Pastor, question. What if I want to mend a family relationship and they are not interested in mending the family relationship? That's a good question. That's a good question. I'll answer that in a couple parts. Number one, a person forced against their will is of the same opinion still. That's a little phrase that we have. That way you can remember it because you can use this in a lot of areas. A person forced against their will is of the same opinion still. In other words, you can't make anybody do anything. Am I right about it? Right? So you need to understand that first. So you go to someone, you're doing the right thing. So I'm not saying don't go to them, you know, go to them. But if you don't get the right answer you were looking for, okay, don't get all bent out of shape because you can't make anybody do anything. All right. Pray for them and keep your heart open and clear. So I go to you, you're my family member, I love you, you know, some things went down, probably on both sides, I'm just trying to get it right, you don't want to hear me. Okay, no problem. So I'm going to pray for that person, I'm going to keep my heart open, and I keep my heart clear because the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. So I'm believing now that God is going to deal with your heart, all right? And so, you know, so just, you know, maybe that was last year. Well, maybe they're ready this year. You know, you have to be willing to reach out just to say hi. You got it. If they ignore you or disrespect you, just keep your heart clear and give it to God. All right. Now let's talk about another section. Another section. Unfortunately, there are some people and even some relationships that are toxic. That is best to forgive them, to love them, and leave them alone. All right. Forgive them. Bible says we have to. Right. Love them. Bible says we have to. But leave them alone. Now, I didn't say alone, A-L-O-N-E. We country around here. Leave them alone, L-O-N-E. You got it? Just leave. Not like, so I'm going to forgive you. You got it. I'm going to love. But the relationship is just too toxic. Every time we get together, it's always something. And it's not good for me. It's not good for my health. It's not good for my mental health. You understand what I'm saying? So and I've got to protect me. You got it? And so, and God does not get upset at you protecting you. Right? Let me help you. God doesn't want you to be in abusive relationships. I don't care what type of abuse it is. Does that make sense? Okay, some of y'all drag a little bit on that. All right? There's three groups of people to remember. How many groups?
Three.
There may be more, but for the context of this lesson, now they don't have this on the screen. This is just something that, you know, pastors always, I'm always adding to my lesson. I was sending Ellen a scripture this morning. Add this. And so there's three groups of people to remember. The ones who tried to hurt you, the ones who tried to help you, and the ones who tried to hinder you. All right, those are three groups of people that you always remember. The ones who tried to hurt you, the ones who tried to help you, and the ones who tried to hinder you. Let's talk about the ones who tried to hurt you. How do I handle, Pastor, the ones who tried to hurt me? You must always protect yourself from them. You'll always protect yourself from them, all right? I'm a very loving person. If anybody knows me and gets around me long enough, you're going to realize he's just one of the guys. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I'm just like that. You got it? I want to make sure you're okay. If we go to lunch, typically, you're going to have to fight me for the bill. You understand? I'm just like that. You got it? I want to make sure that everybody is okay. I'm not high on the horse. I don't think I'm up here and everybody else is down. I just don't feel that way. You understand? Now, I do know who I am in God. You got it? But I also know who you are in God, and I also know who we are in God. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are the apple of his eye. We are the object of his affection. We are king's kiss. We are the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. So I understand it's not just me, but you're like that too. Does that make sense? So it's okay. Watch this. For me to protect myself, you know, from people that try to hurt me. All right. So the ones who tried to hurt you, always protect yourself from them. Number two, the ones who tried to help you, always remember them. Never forget the people that helped you along the way. You did not get to where you are by yourself. You're standing on the shoulders of those that have helped you along the way. Even if you don't have a relationship with them anymore, that's okay. But just never forget the people that helped you along the way. That's a good place to clap right there. Never forget them. If you ever see them, you got, like I said, I'm not saying you have to go to dinner with them every day, you know, because seasons change and that kind of thing. But if you ever see them, you remember 20 years ago, they helped you. Always go to them, you know, always greet them, always be kind to them, always be respectful to them. And if you remember to, thank them for how they helped you along the way. Does that make sense? So never, we're standing on the shoulders of others who have helped us along the way. We did not get here by ourselves, all right? So number one was the ones who tried to hurt you. Number two are the ones who tried to help you. And then number three are those who tried to hinder you. Always be cautious and watch out for them. They didn't help your milestone, but they also didn't put you in the tombstone. People like this you must use as stepping stones and learn for the next time. All right? And so you have to be careful. Pastor, I don't know about that, Pastor, because the Bible says to love. I ain't never read anywhere in the Bible says you have to look out for people. You don't read the Bible enough because it's all through the Bible. It really is. No, I mean, like, okay, I'm just going to give you one. 2 Timothy 4 and 14, Paul is writing to his son in the gospel, Timothy, and this is what Paul, the apostle, who wrote a great part of the New Testament, said. He said, Alexander the coppersmith did me great wrongs. Because, you know, it's amazing to me because people say, oh, no, when people, they hurt you, don't say anything about it. Just keep your mouth shut. I've always been taught that as a pastor. When people do you wrong, just, you know. And then I started reading the Bible because I always thought, because, you know, I don't want to get in this, but, you know how it is. When I first came to the city, people, you know, knew, you know, that I was a really blessed guy. You know, I had my own businesses, you know, and that kind of thing. But they didn't realize that at first. And so the story was, oh, this was years ago. So the story was, he's after those folks' money. because all a preacher wants is your, you heard it, right? Then they found out brother man is well off. Oh, he pays them to come to church. You know, and on and on and on she goes and where she stops. So you have to cancel out all that noise in your life. You just got to get rid of it. You got it. But I was taught. You got it. And I'm sure the other people meant well. But I was taught never to fight back. Like never to stand up for myself. Like if people do you wrong, just be quiet and keep on going. And I agree with that to a degree. But then I started reading the Bible and I started reading the scripture and I started reading where Paul says, "Mark them that cause division among you." That's what the Bible says. So I'm not going to let anybody in this house start causing division, and I not mark that person that caused division, because God is doing something incredible in this place. And watch this. And as if I'm the steward of this house, which the Bible says, I've got to make sure that to the best of my ability, I protect this house. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why anybody that ever stands up in this pulpit, you can know for sure he be a man of God or she be a woman of God. Does that make sense? Yeah. Lady LaConte and I are very careful who we invite. We were talking about, you know, what we want to do next year and inviting some people, you know, and then some people we don't know or just, you know, kind of in the gospel industry. And we said, no, it's okay. We all right. No, because I have to protect you as much as I can. Now, you know, pastor's not perfect. He might miss something every once in a while, but to the degree I can, it's my job to protect you. You got it. Years ago, I used to teach you how to spot a wolf track. Y'all remember that? But we don't have time for that. Alexander the coppersmith, I'm still at 2 Timothy 4 and 14. I know where I am. I've got 2 minutes left, and they're on stage waiting for me, all right? Alexander the coppersmith did me. But I thought, Hannah, it's only one service, right, baby? And not two. So don't I get to preach? Do I get double the time? Ah, that's my girl. She said, Alexander the coppersmith did me great wrongs. Watch this. He let Timothy know, because he wanted Timothy to know, you got to be careful. So he says, watch out for him. He did me great wrongs. But watch what he says. The Lord will pay him back for his actions. So I'm not telling you to do anything to him, Timothy, but I do want to let people know you got to watch this cat. Does that make sense? He says, did he say watch that cat? Yeah, he did in verse 15. Beware of him yourself. The paraphrase would say, watch that cat. You know, see, that's when I taught you, you know, when we taught you the whole KJV is formal, you know, in the KJV, you know, thou must watchest thyself. And then in the functional, you got it, the NLT says, beware of him yourself, right? But the paraphrase, you got it, says, watch that cat. You understand what I'm saying? All right. Beware of him yourself, for he opposed and resisted our message very strongly and exceedingly. All right? So it's okay to protect yourself. All right? And the last, all right, so let's review. Let's put up on the screen, what's number one? Be wise with your money. All right? What's number two, class? Clear your heart. All right? And then number three, during this season, get some rest. Okay? Now, I've got 19 seconds. I'm probably going to need about 3 more minutes, and then I'll be able to close this out, because I want to talk to you about this. Because some of you all think that you have to work all the time, and you can never get any rest, you can never stop, and you got to go hard, and you got to make that paper, and you got to do all that. And actually, that's not true. Actually, it's the order of God that you get rest. God wants you to have rest. If you don't get rest, your body doesn't function well. If you don't get rest, your mind doesn't function well. God very much wants you to make sure you get rest. I understand there might be a season when you kind of got to go hard, but even then, you have to make sure in that season that you still get some rest. All right? God is concerned about you getting some rest. Okay, all right, I'm going to show it to you in the Bible, because nobody said amen, all right? Exodus 20 and 8. All right? Now, the Ten Commandments was what in Exodus and Deuteronomy. Watch what Exodus 28 says. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day. This is where we get the principle of rest, okay? This is where we get our principle of rest. So watch this. You know, I'm a teacher, so I like to break everything down. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, to keep it holy. What's another word that you use? Separate. All right? So God wants you to separate yourself from the normal things you do to make sure that you get some rest. All right? 6 days, you got to get this. Oh, man, you got to get this. Just read this. I got one more scripture. Then I'm going to let you go home, all right? Are y'all still eating leftover Thanksgiving, or is that? Yeah, okay, all right. So I didn't get Thanksgiving this year. All right, praise the Lord. All right, now let me preface that, because you know I play with Lady, but I always want to make sure people know Lady LaConte and her mom and her sister and the kids. It was like a girls' trip. They went back to Georgia to where they were born. It's like in the backwoods. Like they don't even have cell towers back there. I was trying to text Hannah a video of her dog, and it like would not go through. But anyways. So I just said, it's okay, I will just go with Pastor Taylor, because he was by himself. Pastor Taylor is Lady LaConte's father. He pastors in Jacksonville. So I'll go to him with him, and he said, hey, let's go to Cracker Barrel for lunch. I said, okay, and we had great fellowship and bad food, but it's all good. But my girl was up 0:30 in the morning making me this meal that I'm going to eat when I come home, because that's my girl. You understand what I'm saying? So yeah, that's my girl. That's my girl. All right, so 6 days you shall labor and do all, everybody say all your work. So he said, 6 days you got it. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, your daughter, male servant, female servant, cattle, stranger within your gate, nobody. For in the sixth day the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that's in them, and watch this, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed or empowered to prosper the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Pastor, what does the word hallowed mean? He sanctified it, or he set it apart. Okay, just watch this. Okay, let me say, now go to Exodus 16 and 23. So everybody repeat after me. It's okay to take off of work. It's okay to get some rest. It's okay to miss one of the games. I'm just telling you, it's okay. It's okay, and you got to believe that. It's okay. It's okay. When we rest, this is my last point, last scripture, we go home. When we rest, it gives God the opportunity to provide for us supernaturally. I'm telling you, when we rest, because now I'm talking to my people who think you can never take off. I can't miss that money. Especially my business owners, because you think you just got to work around the clock, all right? Exodus 16 and 23, this is for everybody in the room. I need y'all to pay attention to this very closely, then we're going home. Y'all getting blessed? Yes. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Who said it? The Lord has said, all right? Now, Moses is talking to the children of Israel. He's giving them instructions. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. So they laid it up till morning as Moses commanded. Now, you need to get this part. I'm going to explain it in a minute. And it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Okay, now let me go ahead and start telling you part of it. So what happens is you were only able to go and get what you needed for that day, all right? If you went and got food for more than one day, when you woke up the next day, it was spoiled, it stank, it was just, so you could only work it for one day, all right? Well, watch this. Then Moses said, eat that today, for the Sabbath day. So now this day, you got on the sixth day, he said, I want you to get enough for the sixth and the seventh day. They woke up the next morning, all the other days it stank, all the other days it spoiled, but this day it didn't spoil. Okay, just follow me, all right? Then Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will, watch this, you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Now it happened that some people were rebellious, and I added that, and went out on the Sabbath day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? For the Lord has given you. It's a gift. All right? For the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day bread for... Because on the first day, if you try to get bread for 2 days, On the second day, it's going to spoil. If on the second day, you try to get bread for the third day, it's going to spoil. On the third day, if you try to get bread for the fourth day, it's going to spoil. But on the fourth day, if you try to get bread for the fifth day, it's going to spoil. On the fifth day, if you try to get bread for the sixth day, it's going to spoil. But on the sixth day, because God wanted you to rest, he says, get enough for 2 days, and this the only time it will not spoil, because I will supernaturally cause it to be the way it needs to be for you, because I want you to have some rest. Do y'all get that? All right. Now, just look at your neighbor and say, now, get some rest. Just get some rest. That's what you, everything's going to be okay. Just, the laundry is going to be all right. The house is going to be all right. Get some rest. God wants to apply this principle of rest, and watch this, and he wants us to trust him for the provision that we need. So I started thinking, let's go home, Courtney. So I started thinking, it feels funny to go home after one service, don't it? It feels funny. Like, I think all of y'all should go out and come back in and we do it again. All right. Watch this. I was thinking this morning, tithing, this is a lot like tithing. God can do more with your 90 than you can do with your 100. God can do more in 6 days than you can do in 7. And so you got to learn how to trust God as your source. You know, one fast food restaurant that I really respect is Chick-fil-A. Y'all like it because the food is good and the service. I get it. I like it because they actually have it in their manual specifically to say that they have off for Sundays for a day of worship and rest. And so I think a lot of them for that. If you go to entrepreneur.com, they did an article about them. And people do articles about Chick-fil-A all the time, all right? So watch this. The average fast food restaurant grosses $1 million a year. The average, I mean, just one particular one, one in New Bern, one in Kent, so just one, all right? Sunday is the highest grossing producing day for restaurants. Chick-fil-A, which doesn't open on Sundays, which they specifically say to give our employees a day of rest and worship, they gross $5 million a year. Because they honor God and they honor the rest. You got it? And God supernaturally provides. And so the next time the Holy Spirit tells you, just take off tomorrow because your wife needs to spend time with you. Or take off tomorrow because the kids want to go somewhere. I challenge you, the next time the Holy Spirit does it, in faith, say, you know what? I am taking off tomorrow. And I'm not going to worry, you know, about the next payday, because, you know, it's a while till that payday comes and you see the check that misses the one day. And I guarantee you, you will not miss a thing because God will supernaturally provide for you. And this is my whole thing, y'all. Either we're going to trust God's word or we're not. Either we're going to believe God's word or we're not. So let's recap. Number one, be wise with your money. Number two, clear your heart. And number three, get some rest. And I'm out of time. Give the Lord a big hand praise all over the building.